everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I'm your host, Kylie Gable. And as I'm putting this audio together, I am realizing that Pamela and I have a completely different title for this story. She wrote it, she recorded it, I published it. And when I made the cover, I gave it a title, like I always do with her stories, and I called it Not Too Swift, okay? And she called it Transformed Into Taylor. So I was going to make the audio Transformed Into Taylor, but then I realized people who bought the book and who might want to buy the audio will then not be able to find it because they'll be looking for the wrong title. So even though she calls it Transformed Into Taylor, the title is Not Too Swift. And as you can guess, you know, the story is about someone who is feminized to look like Taylor Swift. And it's a great story. One of the things I love when Pamela writes these music-based stories is her own knowledge here. She is an amazing guitar player who I've had referred to as the female Hendrix, and I'm not kidding about that. I think that's a little bit overblown, but it's true. And she's also teaches guitar, and so when the character is learning a little bit about how to play guitar, she's talking about a one-finger technique. I have no idea what she's talking about, but it totally makes sense because she knows this sort of thing. So I love that. Her voice is great, and I like the story. It's a fun story, and it's just perfectly timely for right now. So without further ado, here is Not Too Swift, transformed for the, or feminized for the talent show, and it's both written and recorded by Pamela Harlow.
Transformed Into Taylor by Pamela Harlow and Kylie Gable. 1. Hayley, Beth, Connie and Leanne were good friends with a lot in common. They all loved to go out on a Saturday night. They loved to go shopping for clothes and makeup on a Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And all of them loved Taylor Swift. On this particular Saturday, they were in a student bar called The Grove, which had an upstairs area that opened as Poptastic from 11 p.m. It was 10:30, and they were discussing whether or not they should attend tonight. "I think we should," said Hayley, already applying another layer of clear lip gloss over her red, shiny gloss in anticipation. "The music is always amazing, and you know, they're just bound to play a load of Taylor Swift, you know they will." "She's right," grinned Beth, accepting Hayley's hand mirror from her and touching up her own makeup. "It's going to be a party up there tonight. We have to go." Leanne and Connie looked at each other and shrugged. "Okay," said Leanne, "that's cool with me." "I have work tomorrow," Connie said uncertainly. "I don't know if I should." "You'll be fine," Hayley said, putting her hand on Connie's shoulder. "Come on, girl, it wouldn't be the same without you. We'll make sure you don't drink too much. It's all about the music." "Well," Connie hesitated again, "I do really like the idea of singing my heart out to Taylor's best of, to be honest." "Exactly," said Beth. "Oh my God, it's going to be so great." Okay, Connie laughed, "but I'm not getting wasted." "We don't need to," said Leanne. "We'll be high on the songs." All four girls burst into Taylor Swift's love story. It was first released in 2008, when they'd all been toddlers, but each of them knew all the words. As they loudly sang the entire chorus before laughing and clinking their glasses together, they attracted the attention of several groups around them. One group of guys, just a little older, stared at the girls with disdain. The four girls stared back at the guys and shrugged. Hayley stuck her middle finger up, while Connie simply glared at the man who looked angriest of all in the middle. Leanne and Beth continued to laugh. They didn't care. They were going to have a good night, and that was all that mattered. As 11 p.m. approached, the girls got even more excited about Poptastic opening. They burst into another chorus, this time me. The girls danced with their arms out, mimicking the music video. They were tipsy and excited and once again drawing attention to themselves. "She's fucking shit," the man who had looked angry shouted out. He wasn't addressing the girls, but it was clear that he wanted them to hear. "She's not even real. She's been planted, you know, to push an agenda. Everybody knows that, don't they? And her songs, what are they? Tripe. Total trash. It's all trash." Hayley, Beth, Connie and Leanne opened their mouths wide. None of them knew what to say. Of course, they'd come across people who didn't like Taylor Swift before, but none who had badmouthed her this publicly, loudly and aggressively. "What the fuck?" Connie mouthed, looking at Hayley. Hayley regarded the angry man in front of her, their eyes locked, his brown and wide, her own blue and prettily made up. The man she stared straight into had dark hair too and was dressed from head to toe in black, apart from what looked like a red, white and blue wristband. "Fuck him," said Hayley. But by the way she said it, the other girls knew she wasn't being dismissive. She really meant it. Fuck him. She wanted to fuck him up. 2. Less than 10 minutes later, Hayley and Connie went together to the bathroom. "We need to get him," Hayley said through the wall to her friend. "We need to teach that fucker a lesson." Connie's anxiety returned. She looked at the time on her phone. It was now past 11. She was supposed to be at work in 10 hours, and she had a feeling the night was very young for Hayley and her other buddies. "He's a fucker," Connie agreed, "but Hayley, I mean, do we have to do anything? I know we should, but I really am a bit worried about tomorrow." "Connie," said Hayley sternly, "we have a duty." Connie nodded. "We do, don't we?" she said. "This duty is one of your most important," confirmed Hayley. "It is for all of us. We need to stand up for Taylor." Connie nodded. By this point, they were both washing their hands. "So," she said, "what are we going to do?" Hayley smirked in the mirror. She touched up her eyeliner and puffed up her dark, thick hair. She passed the liquid liner to Connie, who thickened what she was already wearing. This gave her a new, hardened look that Hayley silently approved of. Like Hayley, Connie adjusted her hair in the mirror, hers a lot fairer and lighter than Hayley's, and looked into her friend's reflection as she awaited her answer. "Here's what we're going to do," said Hayley. "We're going to trick that idiot." Connie listened intently as Hayley first ranted about the guy, his stupid gelled hair and evil smile, his too tight shirt and his ridiculous exposed ankles. After a deep breath, Hayley began to share what she meant by trick. "We're going to flirt with him. One of us, specifically. I don't know who yet. We'll have to decide together. Anyway, we can all be a bit flirtatious, so he feels like he's going to get really lucky. We're going to get him all riled up and then take him back to my apartment." "Then what?" asked Connie. Again, her anxiety about the time was simmering. "Connie," Hayley said suddenly, "would it be out of the question for you to call in sick tomorrow?" Connie couldn't help but feel excited by the idea. Her job as a waitress wasn't particularly enjoyable. She wasn't that bothered about it and had been thinking about leaving anyway. The thought of calling in sick was liberating, and as soon as Hayley suggested it, a part of her knew she'd agree. She had to go through the motions of questioning it, though, if only to make sure she definitely didn't have to deal with any guilt. "I really don't know," she said. "I mean, it's wrong to lie, isn't it?" Hayley put her hand on Connie's shoulder. "Honey," she said, "our duty to Taylor is so important, And don't you think it would be wrong to not fulfil that? Connie nodded. Haley had a point. Besides, said Haley, they have a huge pool of staff. Somebody will be pleased for the extra day's work. Trust me, it's going to be fine. I guess, said Connie. I mean, it's not like I'd be the first to do it. You definitely wouldn't, said Haley. Okay, Connie agreed. Okay, I'm not going to work tomorrow. So, the night is young. But that guy won't come upstairs to Poptastic, will he? Does that mean we've got to stay down here? I think we're going to have to, said Haley, adjusting her hair again. But don't worry, our night is going to be far from boring. Right, shall we go and get the other two up to speed and make sure we haven't lost our prey? Absolutely, said Connie, feeling giddy and suddenly drunker than before. And shall we get some shots? I mean, now I've decided I'm not going in tomorrow. Haley laughed. You were quick to convince, she said. I think we both know you're done with that job. You deserve better, babe. Come on. Haley and Connie returned to Beth and Leanne with their arms linked. As though they'd heard them talking, Beth and Leanne had already bought a round of shots. 3. I know you're working in the morning, honey, Beth started to gush at Connie, but Haley put her hand up, stopping her in her tracks. Don't worry, she said. This diva is calling in sick tomorrow. Beth and Leanne squealed with excitement. Yay! Leanne screeched. You're so cool, Connie. She squeezed her tightly and passed her a shot. She passed one to Haley and Beth and picked one up herself. 3, 2, 1. The four girls necked their shots, Jaeger bombs, the perfect combination of liquor and caffeine, sure to fuel them through the evening and make them just crazy enough for whatever Haley was continuing to plan. So, are we going up then? Beth said, pointing at the queue to the upstairs club night. Haley and Connie looked at each other. Well, Connie started, Haley has a better idea. As she spoke, she shifted her gaze to the man who'd annoyed them so much just minutes before. He was still talking loudly to his friends, now about a girl he'd supposedly pulled the last time he was in there. He mimed big breasts in front of his chest and laughed loudly before swigging down more of his cheap lager. What a loser, Connie muttered to herself. She eyed up his wristband again. It looked like some kind of political tag. She frowned as she tried to make it out, but couldn't. Whatever it was, she hated how it looked. In all black, he could almost pass as attractive if you ignored his attitude. But with that bright band on his arm, he just looked ridiculous. It was amazing how much of an effect such a small thing could have on a person's image, Connie reflected. Beth and Leanne looked expectantly at Haley, who grinned proudly. You're going to love it, girls, she said. You're going to love it. The music was getting louder, and Beth and Leanne struggled to hear Haley as she spoke. They got the gist, though. They managed to decipher the message that they were going to flirt with the twat, one of them quite seriously, to increase his hopes of getting lucky with one or all four of them. When they had him under their spell, they were going to go back to Haley's. But then what? Asked Beth, laughing and looking over at the jerk. Are we just going to play a load of Taylor Swift songs until he's converted? Oh, we're going to convert him, said Haley. But we're going to convert him into much more than a Taylor Swift fan. We're going to convert him into Taylor Swift. What? Beth said, I can't hear you. I just thought you said we were going to convert him into Taylor. That's what I said Haley. We're going to fuck him up big time. He's going to be confused about who he even is by the time we're done with him. All he will know is Taylor songs, Taylor clothes, Taylor hair, Taylor makeup. You get the idea. It sounds amazing, Leanne agreed. I don't know how we're going to pull this off, but it sounds amazing. There are four of us, Haley said with confidence. There is one of him. We can do whatever we wish. He's made a huge mistake, and he's messed with the wrong group of girls. Now, which one of us is going to take the lead in the flirting? I will, said Connie, taking them all by surprise. I think I can turn that fucker on and lead him all the way on. She laughed. He's going to be begging to come home with us. Good girl, said Haley. Isn't Connie amazing? To Connie! All four girls toasted loudly. To Connie! Attracting the attention of the jerk again, who rolled his eyes at them. Catching his eye, Connie threw a wink in his direction. This caught his attention right away, and he looked her up and down. He nodded approvingly at her bare legs beneath her tight pink dress and put his hand in his front pocket, drawing attention to his groin area. Connie followed his cue and looked in that general direction before giggling and turning away, aware of his gaze continuing in her peripheral vision. She knew how to play this game, and she was winning.
Hey everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Kylie got an email from Spotify last month warning him about adult content on the podcast. For now, there is no problem, but we do have to be careful about what we put on the free podcast so that we can stay podcasting. Scenes that might have been allowed before might be a bit dangerous for us. It's one of the reasons that the premium podcast is so important. Because you subscribe to listen, we don't have to worry about content limits, so we can include much more titillating scenes. Premium subscribers get the entire audio, and not just a clip. That includes all the good parts, and the shows don't just disappear when we're done with them. There's something like 30 hours of content in the archives accessible when you subscribe. It's $15 a month, and we know that's not in everybody's budget, but if you're interested, check out the Premium Feminization Boudoir on Spotify or check out the link in this show's description.
4. Less than 5 minutes later, the guy, who now introduced himself as Tony, was standing with the four girls. What can I say? He announced loudly as he invaded their bubble. I think we got off on the wrong foot. I'm all right, really. I think you'd like me if you got to know me. The girls all smirked, but he took their expressions to be flirtatious smiles. I already like you, Connie smiled, touching his arm as she spoke. I take it you don't want to join us for Poptastic this evening. Oh, come on, said Tony, puffing out his chest. Let's not get started again. Here, I'll buy you all a drink. What are you having? The girls all asked for premium cocktails, which Tony happily went to the bar to order. Connie continued to smile at him through the crowd, while saying to her friends through gritted teeth, This is so easy. He must really love himself. He adores himself, Beth agreed. I bet he kisses his biceps goodnight. All the girls laughed. He definitely thinks he has a chance with you, Connie, said Leanne. You're doing amazingly. Who knew you were such a flirt? Well, said Connie, men are so easy, aren't they? I mean, it's so easy to get them to think you fancy them. It's still fun, though. He's coming back, said Haley, as he walked towards them with a tray of 5 premium cocktails. He'd decided to join them in their choice. After handing the girls their drinks, Tony gestured towards the back of the bar. I paid extra so we can have a private booze, he told them. Over there, in the corner. The girls looked at each other and worked hard to suppress their eye-rolling. They didn't have to feign their enthusiasm as they followed Tony over to the corner, but he had no idea of the real reason for their excitement. As the 5 of them sat together, Tony put his hand on Connie's bare thigh beneath the table. She squeezed his hand and stroked his fingers, but stared straight at Haley. She was happy to flirt, but she didn't want this to go any further. They had to leave soon. Hey, Tony, said Haley, stroking his leg under the table with her foot. Us girls were hoping to have some fun tonight at my place. Do you want to join us? Tony's eyes widened with excitement.
Do I? He asked. It must be my lucky day.
Oh, it really is, said Leanne. We might have been mean to you earlier, but that's because we thought you were mean, and the truth is, none of us can resist a mean guy who's secretly nice and ridiculously hot. Tony cleared his throat. He threw his drink back and pumped his fist on the table. Are you ready, girls? He said. I'll get us a cab. Great, Haley grinned. It's 19, Lutterworth Road. 5. As they sat in the taxi for the 10-minute journey to Haley's, all 5 of the passengers were excited. They were in a large, 7-seated vehicle, and Tony sat between Connie and Haley. Leanne and Beth sat behind them, chatting excitedly about what a fun night they were having and were going to continue to have. They hinted that they might have some drugs, sensing that Tony might be into that. But they didn't really. Oh, yeah, said Beth. We're going to powder your nose, Tony. Tony laughed, but the girls howled. They knew that the powder they were talking about was sitting in the little compacts inside their handbags. As they rode together, Haley worked on devising a practical plan in her head. She visualised all of the belts she owned, she had a lot, and how she could use them to tie Tony up. She wondered what she had that she could use as a gag. If needed, she imagined making a ball gag out of a sour lemon and chuckled to herself. Tony had one hand on Connie's thigh, the other on her own. They would have to restrain his arms as soon as possible, she decided. They'd both had more than enough of his touch. As Haley led the way to the kitchen, where a large rectangular table surrounded by chairs awaited them, Tony attempted to kiss Connie. Knowing she still needed to play along, Connie kissed him back, but it was a light, playful and teasing kiss. He literally groaned with longing as she pulled away, biting her lip just to lead him on a bit more. You're something else, Tony said, following her to the table and sitting on the seat beside her. As Haley popped open a bottle of Prosecco, pouring 5 glasses and placing them on the table, the mood suddenly shifted. There was no music at this point, and Tony felt the air around him become inexplicably eerie. The girls seemed to be telepathically communicating, he thought, and the sexual nature of their communication seemed to be shifting into something else. But it was something he couldn't put his finger on. What was happening? He shuddered as a sense of unease rushed through his entire body. Haley stood up suddenly and returned with her hands full of belts. Before Tony could register what he was seeing, she'd grabbed his hands and tied them behind his back. Beth and Leanne took a belt each and tied his ankles to the chair, whilst Connie, laughing, tied one around his mouth and face. Tony's eyes were wide with terror as he tried to speak, but the belt prevented him from achieving any kind of coherence. So, said Connie, which era of Taylor shall we dress him as? The girl settled on present-day Taylor, rationalising that she was getting better and better, so should be celebrated as she is. They discussed a blue dress she'd recently wore and excitedly chatted about pairing it with matching shoes. Haley disappeared again to find her version of Taylor's dress, whilst the other 3 girls circled Tony's chair, drinking their Prosecco and examining him. His face is already quite feminine, said Leanne. It should be easy to get his makeup sorted. I agree, said Beth. Me too, said Connie. Honestly, I kind of felt like I was flirting with a girl tonight. It was a bit weird. Tony looked at her angrily. Although his wrists were restrained, the girls could see his hands forming into fists with frustration. So, how are we going to sort the hair? Beth asked. It's going to have to be a wig, said Connie, but we'll have to source that in the morning. Everything else we can do tonight. Okay, laughed Leanne. She and the other two girls turned to the doorway as Hayley re-entered the room. She held up a blue dress almost identical to Taylor's. Taylor would definitely rock that, said Beth. The others agreed. I think I have some matching shoes, said Hayley. I'll go find some soon. First, we need to get him out of those silly man clothes. She held up a pair of scissors and laughed sadistically. Before any of the girls or Tony could say anything, she'd snipped down the front of Tony's black shirt and ripped it off. She did the same to his black jeans with a little more difficulty and was satisfied to pull away the jeans from Tony. He looked down at his Calvin Klein white boxers. They'd been expensive, but he knew what she was about to do. Sure enough, Hayley snipped them away too, leaving Tony self-conscious, looking down at his bare cock as he failed to free himself from the chair. Standing back, Hayley held up her phone. She took several photographs, for the last couple instructing Tony to smile. With the belt around his mouth, Tony couldn't have smiled even if he'd wanted to, but despite himself, he still tried. The pictures Hayley captured of him naked and restrained were passed around the four girls. They each laughed loudly as Tony's heart beat hard with terror. He had a girlfriend at home. If she ever found out about this, they'd be finished. He knew one thing more than anything. These pictures could not get out. He'd do whatever that took to stop it from happening. 6. Aware that Tony was now under their control, without even knowing he had a girlfriend to hide the pictures from, Hayley calmly told him that they were going to remove his restraints in order to dress him properly. She told Tony that if he didn't comply, the pictures she'd taken would be all over the internet in no time at all. She'd already shared them with the other girls, so there was no use trying to take or destroy her phone. Slowly, she released the belt from around his mouth and asked, "Do you understand?" Tony nodded. "Do you understand?" Hayley repeated, harsher, with more volume. "Yes, miss," Tony said pathetically. The four girls erupted into laughter. "Good girl," Hayley patted Tony's head. Connie shook her head in admiration. Leanne and Beth poured the four of them more Prosecco, leaving Tony's glass empty, of course. Slowly, ready for a struggle, Hayley removed the belt from around Tony's wrists. She was surprised when he didn't try to free himself. Already defeated. What a wuss, she thought. She pulled his arms up and smiled at Connie, who was already smiling at her. "Pass the dress, hon. Can I put it on?" "Of course." Connie straddled Tony as she pulled the dress over the arms Hayley held up. She felt as his cock hardened and shook her head in disapproval. She stepped off him and pointed at his erect cock. "What a naughty girl." "A very naughty girl," the others agreed. "We need to get that covered ASAP." Without untying his ankles, Beth pulled the dress down. His erection remained obvious, but became even more comical, wrapped in the blue dress. "Aw, a little girly erection," laughed Beth. "Naughty Taylor." "Naughty Taylor," echoed Leanne. "It's a good job we love you." "My name's Tony," Tony suddenly replied, seeming to have just come around a little. He attempted to stand up, but stumbled back down in the chair. "Naughty Taylor," Hayley said. As Tony heard the phrase for the third time, he shuddered. What were these girls going to do to him? What had they already done? "Hey, girls, you know how I did that talent show last year as Taylor?" said Hayley. "Oh, yeah," gushed Connie. "You were amazing. You so should have won." "Thanks, babe," said Hayley. "Well, it's coming up again. It's actually tomorrow. I haven't entered this time, but I do know there are still places left, and I still have this that I used last year. Beth, Connie and Leanne screamed as Hayley held up a shortish, light brown wig with a fringe. Yes, said Leanne, yes. Yes, agreed Beth and Connie, squealing again as Hayley planted the wig on Tony's head, transforming him in an instant.
So that was Not Too Swift, Feminized for the Talent Show, written and recorded both by Pamela Harlow. I hope you enjoyed. We are about to get a whole lot of audios. I have pledged audios from Shayla. I have them from Mistress DJ. I have them from Pamela. And I have them coming also from Faith O'Shea, who would be a wonderful addition. So we've got a whole lot more audios coming. And as we get more in, I will definitely be kind of expanding when I'm putting on the premium podcast a little bit, because I like these to be a little bit closer to an hour than 45 minutes. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed that one. Just a cute little one-off story. I love Pamela's voice. I've spent time in England. Kind of ties into my own feminization. And so I have a little immunity to cute British accents, but I love her voice. So anyway, I will be back next week. I hope you will be too. Have a great week. Bye-bye.